Hi, this is Scott. I really appreciate our sponsors because they make the show possible. Today's show is sponsored by Developer Express. Become a UI superhero with DevExpress, controls, and libraries. Deliver elegant .NET solutions that address customer needs today by leveraging your existing knowledge. You can build next-generation touch-enabled solutions for tomorrow. You can download your free 30-day trial at dx.hanselminutes.com. That's dx.hanselminutes.com.
From hanselminutes.com, it's Hansel Minutes, a weekly discussion with web developer and technologist Scott Hanselman. This is Lawrence Ryan announcing show number 568. In this episode, Scott talks with Bert Bierkman of Forgotten Empires about bringing back the game Age of Empires with new expansion packs after 16 years.
Hi, this is Scott Hanselman. This is another episode of Hansel Minutes. Today, I'm talking with Bert Bierkman from Forgotten Empires. How are you?
Very good, thank you.
I am very happy to be chatting with you because I was on the internet a while back, as one does, and in my surfing, I noticed that there was a new game out, Age of Empires 2 HD, The African Kingdoms, and I had to pause. I had to pause a minute, and I had to ask myself what decade we were in. What is going on? It's 2017.
Yeah, it has been quite crazy in Age of Empires 2 land for the last 3 years, pretty much. We've seen three expansions coming out, and every time we get loads of emails saying, like, what year is it? What's going on? Why is Age of Empires still happening? Why is it still a thing? And yeah, it's quite a long story, really. When we started, I think 3 or 4 years ago by now, we were working on a mod for Age of Empires. So after, I don't know, it's the game had been out then for 15, 13, something like that years, ages. And, nobody at that point had figured out how to add new civilizations to the game. And I don't know, some lazy Sunday afternoon, I was, looking around the forums. I was super curious, like, has anyone ever managed to add new civilizations to Age of Empires 2? And I figured it out. There was a guy in China, and he was talking on some kind of forum, and he said, like, I managed to add a 19th. We're 18 in the game. I managed to add a 19th civilization to Age of Empires 2. And that's kind of what I saw. I saw, like, 19th civ, and then a whole bunch of Chinese signs. I don't speak Chinese at all, so that was quite challenging. And I started digging and with Google Translate and then all the tools he was using. I was like, okay, we can do this. We can add a new civ to the game. And at that point, we started getting more people on board, like people who could do graphics, people who could make some sounds, maybe even compose a bit of music. And I think after a year, that all added up and accumulated to one big mod project. And at the very same time, which we were very unaware of, Microsoft also regained interest in Age of Empires 2. So what they did, they were working on the HD edition, which is on Steam. And at the very same moment, we were working on our mod. And so that kind of came together in a way. Like when our mod was released, I think a month later or something, the HD edition was announced. And we were like, geez, that's an opportunity there. Like, we have a lot of new content here. They have regained interest in the game. We should figure out how to work together. I have to say, that was a long and an almost painful process to get in touch with Microsoft, because you're just the guy behind the computer, right? And Microsoft is this big company, and you're like, how do I talk to Microsoft? I know that Bill Gates is at Microsoft, but you don't send a mail to say, hey, Bill, we want to do something with Microsoft. There is no contact point for us. That was so difficult to get into. But after a while, we got in touch with the right people. And yeah, it started from there. And we made one expansion. That turned into two expansions. And then I think last December we had the third expansion, Rise of the Righteous, being released. And then that's the one that caught your eye and then and probably surprised you. Like, why is this still a thing?
Yeah, the African Kingdoms was the one that caught me first. But you've got the Forgotten, you've got the African Kingdoms, and then now you've got Rise of the Rajas. So
yes,
three complete and massive expansions in a short period of time, encompassing all kinds of cultures that we and frankly cultures we didn't see before in a fairly Eurocentric Age of Empires. I want to back up though, because you've touched on so many different things.
First, sorry.
Microsoft's 100. No, it's great. Microsoft's 130,000 people, and your point about trying to find the right person, I find that there's one person inside of Microsoft that is super interested in whatever you have to say. You just have to find that one person, and everyone else has zero interest in what you have to say. There's no middle ground. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Indeed.
Did you find that to be the case as well?
We definitely. You jump through so many hoops. At first, you're like, oh yeah, just talk to that guy. Talk to that guy. And you jump around. And eventually, indeed, you get that guy if you're lucky. We were super lucky because they were on that project. And we had a queue to begin with. Like we got in touch with an old developer of the original game. And he told us, like, that might be a guy if he's still around there. To kind of start jumping around, but indeed it's super difficult to find them.
The mods, are these hacks, or is this like, are you like, you know, because there are mods that are hacks, there's mods for Doom where they just swap out textures, or did you find a way to add this in like the way they would have added it in?
It was a mix. There were like, this was actually quite an interesting point about, the whole timing. Like we mentioned before, it's been 16 years since something, 15 years since something happened in the series. So a lot of the people who grew up initially with Age of Empires 2, they were 10 years old at the time. Now they're 20, 26, something like that. They just came out of college or university. They have, a lot of time on their hands in some cases, or they need to find a new hobby, a new passion. And a lot of people just went back to Age of Empires, like a childhood game. And it's kind of that, environment that I met a lot of people in. They suddenly had the skills to make tools, to edit the game, to even hack the game. And all those tools and those hacking skills combined kind of made the mod. So it's a mix of hacking and proper tools in the way that Ensemble Studios did it back in the 90s.
What is it about Age of Empires 2 that gets people so nostalgic? I mean, 3 came out, you know, maybe 10 years ago, and it was more 3D and more fancy, but people kind of shrugged. I feel the same way about like Diablo 2. There's something about these bitmap-based high-res, raster-based games that make people happy.
Yeah, I one of the things that's definitely a thing is that Age of Empires 2 was one of the last massive games in the 2D environment. And after that, it went really quick into 3D. Like as you mentioned, Age of Mythology, Age of Empires 3, they were full-blown 3D games. But especially Age of Mythology was in its 3D, was in its infancy at that time. Mm-hmm. And if you play it nowadays, you think like, oh, it's still a good game. But the graphics, they look like, I mean, the leg is just two polygons, and that's it. While in Age of Empires 2, if we look at the polygon count of a unit, that's a few millions per unit, which you can never achieve in a 3D game. Indeed, it's then rendered out into a sprite, which is then very, very simplified. But the quality is just so enormously detailed. And that's a level of detail that 3D has has caught up by now, but it took a while to get there. So I think just that fact that it's so such a high quality 2D game helps in making it age well. I can say it like that.
It did seem a little bit like in the early 2000s, mid-2000s, people were trying to make 3D games just because they were 3D, just like when we saw 3D movies. And people forgot that we were at the peak of the 2D game at that point. There was no reason to necessarily switch to 3D, but they did it just because they could.
I think so, yes. And I mean, it was a new technology, and by now, so many games are in 3D, and you really have that level where you can really wow people by just more than the fact that it's 3D. Like, it really looks impressive. But indeed, back in the days, it's just a different the capabilities that you can do with 3D and 2D. So,
So you started out, you're a mod collective. You're a bunch of fans that like to mod. Someone figures out how to break into this, you know, in a kind of a mod kind of way. Does this mean that you install Age of Empires 2 and then you unzip a bunch of resources on top of it? Or does this mean that you're actually changing binaries in code?
We did change some binaries in the code, but we tried to make sure. I mean, at that point, we had no idea about the legalities of all the things we were doing. Modding is always, it's a super gray legal area, right? So we did change the binaries, but indeed you had to have the old game installed, and then we provided an installer as well, and then you could just kind of add it to your old game. That was the way it worked.
And is this something you're doing in the existing tools? Is it a collection of tools? Are you in Paintbrush and Visual Studio, or what are you building these things in?
The hacking thing itself was all in with the hex editor. That was it. There was this. I can't say enough. There was one guy who went in with the hex editor, and he did crazy stuff like adding resolution options. Like a HD widescreen, you can even play it in 4K, that kind of stuff, just with the hex editor, improving the AI. Like, it's now at least 10 times smarter, and he did that with the hex editor. And that guy is just ridiculously talented and smart. And I jumped into the hex editor myself a few times, and I managed to do, I don't know, change a variable or stuff like that. But adding new functionality, I still don't fathom how he managed to do that. That was incredible.
Did that change at all when you finally got Microsoft on the phone? Did they say, oh, well, here you go, here's the code? Or are you still doing it that way?
Oh, no, that's all in the past nowadays. Okay.
You had me worried there.
Oh, no, that is long gone, luckily. No, nowadays the expansions, we have the source code to work with, and that is a relief. I mean, the source code, of course, it is old. It's from 20 years ago. Coding practices have changed quite a bit.
A little bit.
Yes. So when we first saw some of the things that were made, we were like, how does this even work? How do you go around this? But we were supported at the time, and still are, by another studio who are helping us with the coding. Because, I mean, at the time, Microsoft kind of was greeted by this group of fans, modders, and we had no proven experience with code. We just had experience with design and content, and indeed a bit of hacky-tacky in the binary files, but not proper coding. So they gave us a studio to support that.
You know, but I think as I think it was Jeff Atwood who said that what one lacks in talent, they make up for with enthusiasm. It sounds like you put together a group that is just so enthusiastic about this game that the little details like the code don't really matter at that point.
You make a good point there. The passion is a bit ridiculous at some time. I mean, I like it myself. Just a stupid story. Like, the way I got into all this Age of Empires stuff is because when I was a kid, I was like, I had like my little scrapbook, and I was writing out civs that I wanted to add to the game. And I don't know, a few years later, I was like, I want to make Age of Empires myself. I want to make my own Age of Empires game, because I couldn't figure out how to add them to the existing one. I mean, I was 12 years old back then, so how the hell would I know? So I started to learn about coding. And then eventually I started to study computer science, yada, yada, yada. And then eventually by, I have to say, a lot of luck, I ended up working on Age of Empires. But it goes for pretty much everybody in the team. Like, they were so, I don't know, swallowed up by the whole game. And they're still so passionate about it. And indeed, it's like, we don't come to work and work on Age of Empires. We, if it's the weekend and we want to make a scenario, we make the scenario and we have fun making the scenario, and eventually it's solved. So it's the passion thing is definitely there, but I also totally understand Microsoft that they were like, yeah, but we need some kind of industry experience in there to kind of even it out and give you some proper support.
They could have just said no. They could have not taken your call, and that would have been, you just would have been martyrs. But now this is a real company. Like, this is for sale. You can go on Steam, and it's great. And I'm running it on Windows 10, and I had no issues at all.
Yeah, pretty much. That's how it works now. Actually, it was one of the first things we had to, like, the first hoop we had to jump through when we got in touch with Microsoft. They were like, yeah, you need to set up a company if you want to work with us. We don't work with individuals in this kind of way. We're like, okay, how do I set up a company? At that time, I was still working in a restaurant or something. So it's a big jump all of a sudden.
So the game that got me, the expansion that I started with, that got me interested in giving you a call, was the African Kingdoms. This was the second new expansion in Age of Empires 2 in 16 years. It included the Berbers, the Malians, the Ethiopians or Habesha, and the Portuguese. How do you pick? I mean, Africa's thousands of tribes, dozens of recognizable tribes. How do you decide which are the four for a game to include as a civilization?
Very good question. Actually, that's something I've argued, or not argued, discussed with the team for hours to no end. And we still don't really know. We don't have a proper process for that. We usually start with, okay, what is something really interesting about something that happened in that region in that time? I'll take one example, the Malians. They had a king, Mansa Musa. He was the richest guy that ever lived. He was, I don't know his net worth, but it's like, take Bill Gates and do that times 100, and you had what Mansa Musa owned back in the days. And there were like stories about him going on trading trips through the Sahara, and then all the regions he passed through, he had no idea of, no concept of trade and money. He just had so much money. So he went to a little village and he was like, I want some milk. And he gave the guy a bar of gold. And then all of a sudden, that guy was the richest guy in the whole tribe. And all those things, after that whole trip he did from Mali to Cairo, the whole economy of North Africa was pretty much collapsed because that guy just spent his money like crazy. And those are the little things that make you interested, like, oh, wait, what did that guy do? And how did he get so rich? And what happened there? And then you start digging and you get a great, great storyline. And then you're like, yeah, we have to make a civilization around that. And then you start digging, like, did they have military and battles that they fought? And that's kind of how it starts.
And traditionally in Age of Empires, when you make a civilization, then there's a hero or a, like, the boss of that civilization that you pick, and you could pick a lot of different ones. Spending a lot of times? Did you work with people who have historical context in that civilization? Like, for example, with the Ethiopian expansion, you had Yodit or Judith, who's a Beta Israel queen, who basically, like, laid waste to Aksum and the Aksumite Empire. Like, how did you explore that? And how did you make sure that it was something that you would want to talk about? And maybe you wouldn't offend modern day Ethiopians if you decided to pick that as a hero?
That is a very good question. Actually, we had this happen once in the past. We were working with Indians in the Forgotten expansion. Mm-hmm. And we we're talking about a hero. I can't remember his name anymore, but we were developing a storyline. He was going to be the great Indian hero, yada, yada, yada. At that point, we also had an Indian guy on the team. He was working on something unrelated, and he saw what we were doing on the Indian storyline, and he was like, stop, don't do that. This is like making a German campaign and glorifying Hitler. You don't do this. I can't remember what the guy was, but we were very happy that we had the Indian guy on the team back in the day.
So that scales only because you had a diverse team. Like, we always talk about how diverse teams, you know, help, because someone can go and say, oh, yikes, you know, let's not do that. But yes. That only, if you hadn't had that Indian gentleman on your team, you would have been in trouble. How do you do that now? Do you take the storylines to colleges or universities and confirm that this is a good idea?
Nowadays, we luckily have Microsoft to fall back on that. We always make our storylines. We do some research ourselves, but then they have a geopoll department to make sure that there's nothing touchy or icky in storylines at all. And they go quite in depth on that. Like, if, I don't know, we touch on something about China, and they're like, oh, China, make sure that things with Tibet, China, Taiwan, that you kind of stay away from border regions that are at the moment a bit sensitive, stuff like mm-hmm. that.
Yeah. Well, I can definitely say, like, as a fan of history, like, you've done a lot of really great historical work, and one could not only play the game for hours, but then go and read about, you know, the warrior queens and kings for hours. I'm a bit of a historian around Ethiopian Aksumite history, and the whole Queen Yodit, Queen Gudit, 10th century AD is fascinating. And of course, on the Indian side, you ended up picking Prithviraj Chauhan from, you know, folk legends in Gujarat around 12th century. You could read about these and go on forever. So it was really, it's cool to play a great game, but also to see that you put a lot of work into it and you thought about it. It just makes it, I don't know, somehow makes it more fun. You know, you could have just made something up, but you didn't.
Indeed. There was one campaign actually where we went a bit more freestyle. But it was the storyline in the Forgotten about the quest for El Dorado.
So, Francisco de Almeida?
Yes, indeed. No, Francisco de Almeida is the Portuguese explorer. Oh, okay. He went the other side of the globe. So El Dorado was more an expedition to the Amazon, where the Spanish were kind of looking for El Dorado, the city of gold. And indeed, there is not that much information about that expedition, mainly because they all died in the end. sorry for the spoilers there, but spoiler, should have said it in before. Sorry.
No. Anyways, okay. I think it's a 10,000. It's a 1,000-year-old spoiler, so it's okay.
Pretty much. We're talking about history here. So we kind of went a bit more freestyle there, but indeed, generally, the campaign team, ever since then, we really focused on historical and then trying to stick to the history as much as possible. And that's also something that I really noticed when playing the original campaigns. There was a campaign in Joan of Arc, and you had to, I don't know, defend Paris or liberate Paris. I don't remember exactly what it was. And in history, it was like they said that they walked around Paris and then they conquered a nearby castle. And indeed, in the scenario, the best way to win that scenario is go around Paris, take a nearby castle, and then continue along your merry way. And that was so nice to discover afterwards. It's like, hey, this is quite well researched.
Yeah. It's also nice that while you could make stuff up, and like you said, you did in a couple of instances, history is sometimes crazy enough that even, you know, the stories that you can just pluck out of history are almost good enough for your storyline.
Absolutely. And that's kind of the basis of Age of Empires. It's a game. It's not a history book, but it's a game mainly inspired by history. So yeah, 99% of the campaigns are historical tales that are kind of molded into the game, but in the end, it's still the history behind it.
And interestingly, I've got a 9-year-old and an 11-year-old, and they both love playing this game, and they will play the game, then they want to run off and read the book. And I know it sounds cliche, but that's exactly what happens. They want to learn, you know, the Mayas and the Aztecs fight, and like, oh, let's find out all about them, you know, or whatever.
That is very nice, I have to say. That's glad to hear that the game is still being played by, well, a completely new generation. Pretty much.
Yeah, it really is. And interestingly, they don't say a word about 3D versus this or that. And the fact that you can run it on a big screen, we're running it on a 30-inch monitor, you know, more dots. That's all they want, more dots. So being able to run it in 4K is pretty amazing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's mm-hmm. it's quite ridiculous. You can actually, that's the very nice thing about the HD edition. And I'm not just stupidly plugging it because we were not involved in that. But sure. if you played it back in the day, it was on 800 by 600 pixels and you could see your town center. And then if you were lucky, two villagers. And now you can see half your empire. And if you're lucky on a 4K monitor, you can see your neighbor as well. It's ridiculous.
Well, that actually brings up an interesting question from a processing power perspective. Given that there is probably two orders of magnitude, maybe three, more processing power, you know, here you've described a scenario where you've got 4, 8, 12 times more stuff going on screen. I assume that there's more than enough CPU overhead to be doing all of that kind of work, and the game runs, you know, buttery smooth.
I have to say that was a long and difficult journey.
Really?
Yes, that was ridiculous. The one thing that was really good and well done in the very original game was the way that the sprites and the terrain and everything was rendered. It was mm-hmm. very meticulous. It was all done in assembly codes to make sure there was absolutely no overhead at all. So every pixel was only drawn if it had to be drawn. No overheads, no nothing. And mm-hmm. if you scale that up from the old resolution, 800 to 600 to 4K, that still works. And there is barely any overhead. When the HD edition came out, some of those things were swapped out. And there were some serious performance hits.
Oh, really?
That was specifically the terrain was done differently. It mm-hmm. was changed from like a 2D rendering system to a 3D mesh. I mean, it still looked like 2D, but under the hood, it was a 3D
right.
mesh.
You have a texture with the mountains over the top of it.
Pretty much. And yeah. it made sense at the time to do that change, but it kind of backfired. So digging through that and optimizing it to get to the level of the original game, that took a while, but nowadays, indeed, it runs as smooth as it should be.
Nice. It seems that people respected performance, though, back in the early 90s, and now, you know, it's pretty easy to be spoiled and just throw a for loop into some code and not think about the ramifications of it when you scale it up.
Indeed. It was actually ridiculous when we did go in with the profiler. It was indeed just a few careless for loops that were doing too much work, and that was it. It just took ages to find it.
I always joke about that. Like, you're in an application. I always think of it as Microsoft Outlook, but it doesn't really matter. I'm in an application, and I'm in somebody's for loop. And it's just like, where is that person? Can I call them? Can I tell them I'm stuck in their for loop? I can feel it. I know I'm in their for loop. So what's about the future of Age of Empires? You've got a studio now. You've released three of them. People can buy them on Steam. They should go and buy them immediately after this show because they're really very well-priced, value-priced. It's not going to break the bank. Are you going to keep doing this until you get tired?
I guess so. So I do remember after the very first expansion came out, which is by now 3 years ago, I was like, yeah, this is it. There's no more room for Civilizations in Age of Empires 2. We've reached the limit, and yeah, we're two expansions ahead. So at this point, I say never. There is still room for more expansions. If they're going to happen, I don't know, but we'd love to do them. And at this point, we're still actively supporting the game as well. We have tournaments going on, so we are making sure there are patches, balance changes, the things for the really big fans to keep them around, to keep them entertained.
Nice. So work continues.
Yes, we're definitely not out of the game yet.
And this works on, I'm saying this because it's true. I'm running this on my Surface. I've played it on airplanes. It runs on my full desktop. It scales to darn near any resolution from, 1024 up. So there's really no excuse. Even a modest machine runs it very, very nicely. I've had no issues at all.
Especially if you play like the normal games, like beat up an AI, totally fine. It should run on anything. The min specs that are specified in the store page are pretty much on point.
Very cool. Yep. And where can people find you and your company and get involved? And then do they just Google it to buy it?
Yes, I think so. If you go to our website, forgottenempires.net, I think on the front page, you can see all the expansions with links to the Steam store. So you can find it there as well.
Very cool. That's forgottenempires.net. We'll put it in the show notes and we'll tweet it and we'll spread the word about this this passion that you have built an entire studio around. And we're thrilled that you've taken a game that hasn't seen an expansion in 16 years and made multiple fantastic expansions. Thanks for sticking with it.
Thanks a lot for having us.
This has been another episode of Hansel Minutes, and I'll see you again next week.